We're just going to say a little prayer for asking for forgiveness. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this privilege to come to you and confess our sins. We are sinners, and the only thing that we deserve is death. But because of your mercy and your grace, we have the promise of salvation and everlasting life, and we thank you for that. And we bow our heads, and we ask for your forgiveness. We repent of our sins, and we pray that you would forgive us. And we thank you for washing our sins as white as snow. And we thank you for that gift. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your love. And we pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Kindly invited to come up with something. Like, do you have anything in your back pocket? And I said, well, I got my wallet and my phone. So I wonder what we can make of that. And I said, well, you know what? I know that I can't make anything of that, but the Lord can. So I'm going to look at some notes I put together once a while back at Psalm 103. And it's got 22 verses, so if I spend a minute on each verse, we should be good for 22 minutes. But let's take a moment. First of all, we'll read it, and then there's just a couple of sections in there that I think I can take a moment and talk about. It's a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all of my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As our Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we get to open this day with you. We get to open it by looking at a psalm that just tells us that no matter what's going on around us, we're to give you praise because you are the God who has saved us. You're the God who has called us to be by you. And so as we take a look at this psalm this morning, I'm going to ask you, Lord, to just open my mind and open all of our hearts and our minds to hear what you might have to say to us this morning. We thank you for the chance to be together and pray your blessings on Pastor Bruce, that he's just got a temporary illness, but we ask you to be by his side and to take care of him as only you can. We give you this time, Jesus, and ask you to bless it in our Savior's name. Amen. So, I ski. Downhill, snow ski. I learned when I was 25 years old how to snow ski. I don't know if any of you snow ski or not, but a friend of mine said to me, hey, you want to go skiing? And I said, I'd love to. I've always wanted to do that. He says, you have skis? I said, absolutely not. He says, okay, I'll loan you a pair. So he loaned me a pair of skis. They were 220 centimeters long. Now, if you don't ski, the longer the ski, the more difficult it is to control and the faster you go. So you want to learn on short skis because you'll learn how to turn and you'll learn control and everything else. But I said, sure, that'll be fine. So he strapped these things on and he says, okay, the first thing we're going to do when we get to the ski resort is, he says, we're going to go up this little, what they call a bunny hill. I said, okay. So we get on this rope tow and I get in the tracks and we go up this bunny hill and got to the top and said, all right, now what? And he says, well, you make kind of like a V. And he says, then you just plow your way down. And he said, just kind of lean to your right and press on your left leg and then press on your right leg. And that'll help you turn a little bit. So I go down this little incline and I get all the way to the bottom. I go, cool, that was easy. Because I'm fairly athletic and I'm looking at it going, this isn't that bad. I said, okay, now what? He goes, well, now we'll go up to the bigger one. Okay. Well, back then, because remember, I'm like 900 years old. I'm Methuselah, as my grandkids call me. My granddaughter this week said, you know, how old is Pop? Is he like 980, I think? So that's my nickname now is Methuselah. So this was back in the early 70s, and they didn't have one of those real nice chairlifts. They had what called the T-bar. So you grab this pole, and it kind of slides behind your backside, and you just kind of lean back on it. You get in the tracks, and it pulls you up the ski hill. Halfway up the ski hill, I started to do this. And my friend's going, lean back, lean back. I'm going, I'm trying. And before you know it, over we go. And the way that they build these things is they build them with a nice little crown on them. So we toppled over into the ravine-ish place that's about 3 or 4 feet deep. I said, now what? He goes, well, now we walk through the trees over here and we get on that hill over there. I said to him, okay, what's that black diamond mean? He goes, you don't need to know. The black diamond, I found out, is one of the ways they rate the skiing. So you have a green circle, and that's to tell you that's the easiest trail, go down that. Then you have a blue square. That one is for intermediate skiers. And the black diamond means you're going to die. It's the steepest you can go down. So when you see a black or a double black or a triple black, no, those are only for the pros. So we get over there, and we have to carry our skis. Now I got to put my skis on, and we're going down a hill. It took me at least 15, 20 minutes to even get my skis on. And then once I get them on, my feet start going, and I can't control them. So I go all the way across the hill right off into another ravine. I kept going across hills into ravines and trying to get up. And he's telling me, put your lower ski down, get on the uphill ski. I'm going, I got no clue what you're even talking about. Finally, we got to probably halfway down this thing. I got him on and I looked and I said, I don't care. I'm going straight. And I did. Straight down the hill, right where there's a line for people to get on the chairlift going up the next hill. Right into the back of that line at full speed almost. I hit that thing and people are going flying forward, you know, they're just falling. And all you could do is turn around and look and hope there's somebody behind you and go, who's the idiot? Disaster. You know, sometimes in crisis, we lose our bearing, don't we? We lose where we're at. And Psalm 103, this is a great psalm to remember when you're in crisis, when you're in a position where you could lose your bearing, because in a moment of crisis, you need a song. You need a song. And this one here, this is a great reminder of something to pull up whenever you find yourself in a time of crisis. You know, it's funny. God does these funny things. last week talked about storms, had no idea that I'd be standing in a storm this morning, having to get out of the boat. But this is a great psalm to take a look at. And let's look at three things. Verse 2. If you look at verse 2, forget what? Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget.
Not.
Yeah, not. Forget not. You know, we're about to sing about, in this psalm, about God who is the source. And if you ever drink chocolate milk when you were a kid, you drank chocolate milk, you remember drinking with a straw? Yeah, the old paper straws were, and you're done. Well, the straw, if I have a container of chocolate milk, the straw is what gets you to the blessing. Absent the straw, the milk stays in the container, right? But the straw is what gets you to the blessing. The milk's not in the straw. The milk's in the carton. And the straw is what the blessing comes through. And when you look at this verse, what are you reminded of? That all good things come from God. And no one else. They're not things that we do on our own. They're blessings that we get from a good and gracious God. Here's the deal. You can lose a straw, but you're not going to lose the source, because God is the source of all of that good. Praise the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. It's he who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. It's him who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things. I need to remember that. I don't know about you. Because frequently when things aren't going well, I'm waiting for something good to happen, and it always seems like the left shoe's about to drop. That's not from God. He's the one who fills our desires with good things, so that our youth is renewed by eagles. I always find this comforting, being over the 60-year mark, to have my youth renewed. And he works righteousness for all the oppressed. And then you look at the second thing there, verse 7. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people. He's compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, thank goodness, abounds in love, not accusing. Remember I said last week, he's not sitting there pointing his finger going, you didn't follow my will, so now I'm going to whack you. Does not treat us as our sins deserve. Thankful for that. Or repay us according to our iniquities. We have a God who's just. He sits as a judge sits. You know, when there's a trial before a judge's job is to make sure that justice is achieved. And if someone is standing before the judge who's committed a crime, it's the judge's job to look at that and to make sure justice is achieved. One day we'll stand before the judge. I've often wondered about that. There's a guy by the name of, help me, Linnea, David Briscoe. What's Stuart's son's first name? Peter, that's right, Peter Briscoe, who did a marvelous sermon message one time. If you ever look up the Bema Seat, B-E-M-A, I don't know if you've ever taken a look at that, or if you Google that some point in time. Some of you are nodding your heads right now. But it talks about, a little play that they've done that talks about what's going to happen when you get to heaven, and that there are different rewards for different people as to what they've done, but we won't know, and bum, 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 bum. But it was really interesting, because I've always thought that, you know, God's got all the time he's going to ever need. So I don't want to be in that line a long time, but I fear the day that will happen. One side of me fears the day that I have to face God. And he's going to go, well, Paul, let's take a look at all this right now. And I'm going to sit there and say, do we really have to? I mean, you know it and I know it, so can't we just and move on and get in? You know? And I have no idea what that's going to be like. I have no idea what to expect during that time, except I know that one thing, that no matter what happens, that according to what I've been taught, what I believe, what I confess, what I read, what I've learned, is that what he won't be saying to me is, well, I guess you've done too much wrong. I can't forgive you. You're sunk. Goodbye. And that alone allows me to get out of bed with my feet running each morning. Because I realize that no matter how much I do not deserve the grace and forgiveness that God will give to me on a regular daily basis, he's going to give it to me. That doesn't mean I get cheap grace where I get to go, well, I know I'm forgiven, so now I can go out and screw up again tomorrow. Yeah. It should motivate me to live a life that honors God because I realize what I've been given. And I realize the blessing that I have. And so as I look at that, you know, I take such solace in he doesn't repay me according to my iniquities. Because as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us who fear him. He removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. We can sing about what God does. And you know, the psalm, it kind of goes on and on and on. My kids always say, Dad, are you going to sing this song goes on forever? That's what they used to call it. Because the song that, you know, forever, his love endures forever. When we were first playing that with Gary Fox years ago, I picked up a version that really builds his love endures forever. I got home that Sunday thinking we had really achieved something musically. It really built to a powerful ending. My kids go, Dad, don't ever pick that song that goes on forever because we just sit there and it goes on forever. So when I say, well, we're going to sing forever, they go, not that version, okay? But crazy as it is, that's what it does. His love goes on forever. I tell him, you better get used to it because when you get to heaven, it's going to go on forever and ever. You're going to hear that song forever and ever and ever. Because his love doesn't stop. It goes on. It reveals who he is, and it reveals who God is to us. Right through verse 14 there, it reveals that because it describes what he does for us. All the things he did for the children of Israel. I mean, you gotta love them. Here they sit, oppressed, in slavery, for years. And they finally get a chance to get out, and they run into a little trouble, and they start whining. You know, complaining. I want to go back to Egypt. I miss Egypt. Why can't I go back to slavery? You ever find yourself in that boat where you've been asked to be delivered from something and you didn't quite have it end up the way you were hoping that it would end up? And then you sit there and go, well, gee, maybe if we wouldn't have, it wouldn't be so bad. Told you last week we're going to get a new house. Yay! If everything goes through, the inspection went fine this past week. Yay! It's starting to settle in that once we move in, there's going to be things that we have to do. So what's, yay! My wife is going, yay! Here's a credit card. Just have fun. Yay! I don't want to be in that boat a month or 2 months from now and going, I really miss the old house. You know? I really wish we didn't do this. Can't we move back? No. I don't want to be like the children of Israel. I want to remember what God has done for me, not what he hasn't done. Not like the good old days. You reach this point in life and what happens? You start recalling, remember what it was like when we were younger? You know? Boy, I wish I was 40 again, you know? Oh, I wish I could go back to high school. Yeah, I was sitting there going, not me, not me. Not the good old days. You know, we get to this point in life only by God's grace. You know, and those memories, they sit there to remind us of all the things that God has brought us through. We're reminded of that in his love for us. Remember, it's not what God did. It's what he does. And that's what we need to remember. It's not what he did for us in the past. It's what he continues to do. And he promises that he will do for us. You know, when you say a prayer and you ask God for his direction, or you ask him for his healing, you realize you're not asking him for something that's exceptional. For him, that's the norm. That's what he does. You know, we like to think, I think sometimes, that Jesus walked the earth and he healed the sick. And well, that's because he was Jesus and he did miracles for those people at those times. So we pray this morning. We pray for the miracle of healing for Bruce, right? Why? Because we know that the person who can heal him and keep him clean is the same God you and I pray to every night, every day, asking for healing. Might not be physical healing, it might be spiritual healing. But we know that when we ask him, we're not asking for anything extraordinary. We're not asking him to do us a favor. We're not asking him to do something that he doesn't normally do. We're just asking him to do what he does. Because, you know, there's no mess, no worse mess than we make of things than the ones we tend to make for ourselves. And yet he's the one that can clean up the mess. If you look at verse 8 there, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's the heart of the psalm. You know, it's kind of a repeat. If you went back to Exodus 34, Moses says, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. Let me sing about who you are. And in the middle of a crisis, that's what we need to remember. You know, I think when I fell down on that ski hill and couldn't get up, I'm ashamed to admit it, but I think most of the bad words that I ever learned from early on came out of my mouth. It was an extremely frustrating experience, especially if you consider yourself to be fairly athletic and you should be able to do this. We're cleaning the garage up yesterday. Matter of fact, I sent our kids a picture of our garage. It has been a mess for years. We pile stuff in there. It's become the easy place. I don't know if you have one like that, but we did. So I sent the kids a message yesterday. Here's what it is. Now, cleaning the garage out yesterday and for the past week as we move stuff to storage brought back a lot of memories from skiing. Same kind of frustration, and it's possible another word or so that I probably said back 30, 40 years ago. But it was finally cleaned out. And I sent pictures to the kids. We sent pictures to the kids of, hey, when did you ever think you would see this? You know, Mom and Kim have been killing it. Our youngest, Michael, sends back, I'll say it for everyone else, Dad, never. Our son-in-law, Matt, sends back, when did they have a floor in the garage put in? Gotta love my kids. But it was a mess. And that's my life. Got a lot of garbage I gotta clean out. A lot of stuff that needs to be moved to storage. A lot of stuff that needs to be put away. And you know what? That stuff that we take to storage, we've already decided that it's not going to the new house, some of it. It doesn't need to come forward. And a lot of things in my life that needed to be moved to storage need to be put in the recycle bin and dumped in the trash. They don't need to come forward. And I think this is a great reminder in this psalm that God cleans our hearts. God helps us to remove the trash that's there. He knows what my weaknesses are. He knows what my hot buttons are. He knows what I'm prone to fail at. He knows what I'm prone to do and say and give in to. And I need to ask him on a regular basis to give me the strength, to give me the power of his Holy Spirit, to give me what I need, the perseverance, to when those things come along, those temptations, those Satan moments, that I'm able to say, nah, see ya, not now. Not now. You don't win on this one. Jesus wins. We need to remember who God has been to us. Merciful, as it says. Gracious. Loving. Compassionate. God is the source of all of our hope and comfort. And I think as we look at this psalm, and like I said, if you ever find yourself in crisis and in need of reassurance and in need of a reminder, I just say, I hope you pull this one out. I hope you remember what it says, the promise it gives us, the reminders that are there, and the reassurance that it gives us that we have a very loving God. You know, yesterday we celebrate the 4th of July, right? Our independence. Well, the last thing I need in my life right now is to be independent of God. I live in his freedom, and that freedom comes to me by the power of his Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that I live in a country where I get to express that freedom. Lene and I came out of the house this morning. Well, first of all, she's on the front porch watering the lawn so it looks nice when we try and sell it next weekend. And she said, I wonder if somebody's going to call the police for disturbing disturbing the peace. And I said, why? She goes, you can't hear the music? And I'm hearing this music. We live a block across the street from the high school. And I listened for a few minutes. I'm going, okay, there's a church that's a new startup that rents Milwaukee Lutheran's facilities, and they said they were going to have outside church. They're out there, and they're playing pretty strong. And she said, I wonder if somebody's going to call. And I said to her, you know what? I said, I give them a lot of credit. They're not being shy. There are some people that may look at that and go, you're really disturbing my Sunday morning. You know, well, I hope you already went to church so that you have peace. And if you haven't gone to church, maybe this is a good reminder you ought to get going. And I thought, you know, I give them a lot of credit. And I want to be that bold too, where I'm not afraid to do just as this psalm says, to praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. That's the privilege we have living in this country. That's the opportunity that we have living in this country. That is the freedom that we have living in this country. And that's the kind of freedom we should celebrate on a weekend like this, is the fact that our sins do not hold us. We are free by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his death for us. And that's something to be extremely thankful for. And with that, I say praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for reminding us in your words just how blessed we are, how wonderful life with you can and should be. And so we ask you this morning, Lord, to fill our hearts with praise, that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what times we find ourselves in crisis, that we remember that we just look to you and sing your praises because you'll lift us through all of it. We ask for your blessing on our families. We ask for your blessing on us, that each and every one of us would remember all the things that you've done for us, but even more importantly, the things you continue to do and will do because of your promise of love that you've given us. So we ask you to continue to bless us and hold us in the palm of your hand in Jesus' name. Amen.